Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Are we having fun on the last day of Toronto Comic Con? I have more voice than usual by the end of the weekend, so it's pretty good. Maybe it's because I've been unleashed and I can stretch my legs a little bit. It's nice. Welcome to the Uncanny Sketch Duel, last sketch duel of the weekend. We're gonna have some fun. On the table, here, right now, ladies and gentlemen, Marcus So. And Priest Lee. Is this anybody's first sketch duel? Wow, still the last one. We have
good
this
amount,
setting.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Dang,
okay, I'm
going
to
awesome.
Explain to you how it works. Was anybody at the Ninja Turtle sketch duel? Enough of you? Okay, we're doing things a little different. Right? I love my brother Anthony, but around here, we have winners, all right? No participation trophies. We have winners and losers, and that's what we're going to have. So we're going to do things the old school tradition. What we're going to do is we're going to take a whole bunch of suggestions from you guys. Favorite characters, places, mashups, activities. We're going to throw them out there. These guys are going to take all those suggestions, let them ramble around in their heads a little bit, and spit some stuff out onto the paper. Now, you're kind of lucky, because when it comes to the last sketch duel of the weekend, we often get some wacky stuff. Because these guys have been drawing and thinking and interacting all weekend. So I'm really interested to see what kind of falls out of their pencils at this point. Once the sketching is done, everybody got tickets? Yeah? At the end of the sketch duel, what we're going to do is we're going to call the tickets. The first ticket gets to come up and choose between the two pictures. Whichever picture you choose, that is our winner. Now, of course, this is just a friendly get-together and draw. This isn't a competition.
A lot of people.
But traditionally, it's a sketch duel. And if Anthony doesn't like tradition, that's his problem. But I'm sticking with it because it's fun. Sound good?
Yeah.
All right, excellent. In that case, this is where you guys come in. I need suggestions. Throw up your hands, and we'll see what you got. What do you got down here?
Do you guys know Overwatch?
You know,
yeah,
Overwatch?
But that sounds complicated already. Yeah. Do you have a favorite character?
Pikachu.
That's not Overwatch.
Reference is allowed.
I just thought you didn't know Pikachu.
Oh, okay.
Overwatch.
I don't know. I mean, from Overwatch, who do you like?
You know Reinhardt?
Yeah, I'll stick with Pikachu.
We only have 40 minutes.
Crypto the Super Dog. Excellent. Right here?
Ilyana Rasputin, Magic.
Magic.
Nice, there you go. What do you got right here? Demon Slayer, what do you got?
Demon Slayer.
Invincible, what do you got? Say again? Ask a Ninja? Ash, oh.
Oh, Ash cool. Greninja.
What's your favorite character?
Favorite character? Like, from any show?
From anything.
Okay. In terms of animated show, I say Mordecai and Mordecai from regular show.
Oh,
right on. What else we got? What do you got?
I see some big scary monsters with cute baby animals.
Oh, big scary monsters with cute baby animals. That sounds fun. What do you got? Stitch. That's an excellent one. Right
there. Sure, there.
Kaiju. Kaiju. Kaijus are good, right? We like kaijus. Right there.
Something up.
A turtle.
I might
right
do multiple
there.
Drawings. Just to...
That is totally cool.
Yeah.
Sorry, King
There's
Kong
a lot of people.
Eating. Oh, King Kong making what lean?
The Leaning Tower of Pisa.
Oh, the Leaning Tower of Pisa. There you go.
We're driving buildings now.
That's extra.
Rogan Wolverine. Nice.
Tim Drake.
That's a good one. Got a couple of...
That's a lot.
Genshin Impact. Where are you? Yeah, nice.
Sorry,
Captain America. What do you like? Say again? The Truman Show? What are some of your favorite activities rather than, you know, I think we've got a lot of characters and some ideas.
There's
what do you guys like to do? What do you got?
A food fight.
A food fight. Excellent, right? What do you got? The JD Vance face. Right on.
I don't know that.
What do you got?
You don't, you should be glad you don't know what that is. It's politics. So.
Oh, really?
Kirby eating a hamburger? Excellent suggestion. Let's get a few more in the front here, and then Are you guys already drawing? Are we done? You've already made their decision. Kids, I'm sorry. Sometimes that happens. It'll just click once they hear something that they like to do, though, you know? So, I guess pencils away, fellas. So I have been very, very lucky to do several. Just ignore the man on stage. He's here recording all this for posterity.
Changing my mind.
They like to keep an eye on Marcus. Cool. You know, some of the
stuff
I started to
draw crypto, then I'm like, I don't really know how to draw dogs very well. So, you know what? We'll change that up.
Awesome. So what we're going to do now is we're just going to hang out. We're going to chat. We'll get to know these guys. If you have any questions, just throw up your hands, and they'll be happy to answer. As I was just saying before, I have been lucky enough to do several sketch duels with Marcus at this point over the last few years, but I have yet to meet Kreese.
Hello.
So why don't we begin with you, Kreese? How about you tell us a little bit about your origin story?
Small
kid, were you into art immediately? Okay. How did it begin for you?
So my name is Kreese. This is a nickname of Chris, spelt kind of weird. I started drawing a lot of Dragon Ball Z as a kid, and then watched a lot of TV, and then realized I wasn't good at anything else, so then I decided to pursue art and became somewhat semi-successful so far, but still working hard at it, and yeah.
Yeah. Where do you hail from?
New York. I'm from New York.
Born and raised New York?
Born in Korea, but basically born and raised in New York. So,
right, excellent.
Yeah.
That's the place you want to be.
New York or Korea?
Yeah, so are you formally trained at all? Or?
I went to the School of Visual Arts for college.
Okay.
And then, if you guys know Klaus Janson, he was one of my professors early on. And he destroyed me, and I was able to build a good foundation for comics and learned a lot from him. So this has been
the plan ever since you were a young child. You just knew you were going to do art.
Since junior year of high school.
Oh.
Yeah, so when I kind of had to decide of like where I wanted to go to school. Yeah.
Excellent. What was your first pro work?
It was Captain Canuck.
Awesome.
I think I got reached out to by Chapter House on Instagram, and I worked on like 2 issues of Captain Canuck.
Oh, that's exciting. Is it the 50th coming up, I believe?
I'm not
of Captain
sure.
Canuck? Yeah, it's the 50th coming up. I think there's some cool stuff actually going to be happening for Captain Canuck's.
It's actually really cool because I actually took over the project after Marcus was on it, and so, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice. They fired my ass. So they hired this young buck here. No. It's I mean, I honestly don't remember anything about Captain Canuck, to be fair. So.
It wasn't that long ago.
It was very long ago. It was like 10 years ago.
Oh.
Or,
we're
eight,
talking 10
like
years
8 years
now?
Ago.
10 years feels like a week these days. how did it begin for you, Marcus? Coming up as a young child, were you art obsessed?
I was and I wasn't. I loved drawing for sure. I had a weird kind of. I never really went to school. I went to animation school just for like a year, but that didn't really work out. I tried my hands at animation after high school, and you know, no one was hiring. And when I ended up failing out of school, I was trying to decide what I wanted to do with my life. So it was either going to be a cop or work at the bank with my mom. So I was like, well, what do I really, really want to do? And I've been drawing comics, you know, for myself for most of my life just for fun, and so I thought I'd lean into what I love the most, and started doing some research about how things, you know, how people got hired. And this was when the internet was still pretty young. There's not a lot of information on there yet about stuff. It was all just forums and message boards. And so I got all my information from Wizard Magazine about, you know, like interviews with Joe Madd and Jim Lee and other things like that. So everyone suggested the San Diego Comic-Con. So I saved up a bunch of money. I went to San Diego by myself, built a portfolio with other suggestions from artists about how to build it, and then kind of made my way to working with Aspen Comics.
for the first time. Yeah, so luckily I got a job with Aspen, and after a few years working with them, kind of parlayed that to some work at DC, and you know, Bob's your uncle, it's been 20 years.
What was your first DC work?
First ever was like a 5-page short story for a Batman 80-page giant for this character. Her name was, I can't remember her name. It was something like, I don't know, like Drift or something, you know, like Cowl or, I can't remember. But I completed that that drawing, those 5 pages, in a good amount of time, and they were pretty happy with the quality and the speed. So right after I finished that, they offered me to take over for Red Robin. Awesome. And that's kind of my, became, even still to this day, what most people know me for. So
is that pretty sweet. Pre-New 52?
It is pre-New 52. This was right around the death of Batman era.
Right.
So Grant Morrison, Dick Grayson, Robin time period. So
right on.
Yeah.
What was your first endeavor with Marvel?
First endeavor was, and a lot of projects are like this, artists couldn't, you know, finish the book, and I took over some pages for Black Panther for the Civil War era of that. But no one really knows. I never see that comic ever, for me at least, right? And but my real kind of like first book with Marvel, I think it was New Avengers something or other.
Nice.
It's funny because like as you do work in comics, there's sometimes they just drop like 2 issues of this and two issues of that. So sometimes I forget where in the timeline these things line up.
Yeah.
Like I've gotten 2 issues of like X-Men Blue, and here's an issue of like 5 pages of Multiversity Huntress, and it's like, okay, you just do it, right? So there's a lot of weird little projects here and there that kind of pop in and out of your career in between kind of the longer books.
Right. Mm-hmm. You were on New Warriors, yes?
I was on New Warriors as well. Actually, you know what? You're right. New Warriors is before New Avengers, so yeah, that was the one. It was when we relaunched it with Chris Yost. When was that? I don't know. 2015, 16, or something like that.
Yeah. It might be 2015. That's how I met Marcus. Was back in 2011. I made a friend on Twitter, my buddy Anthony, and he was a fellow podcaster out in Boise, Idaho. And I was going to be doing a Toronto Comic Con or Fan Expo, and he was a New Warriors freak. He absolutely loved it. And he was like, man, you're going to be at the show. Marcus Toe's going to be at the show. You got to go get blah, blah, blah. So that's how I met Marcus, was having to get books signed for my buddy in Idaho. And yeah, that was a good 10 years ago, probably now at this point.
Yeah, we've been around for a long time. That's
it's exciting.
We're still kicking.
When did you join up with Marvel there, Chris?
Marvel's been about like 2 or 3 years now. Right. So,
and
yeah.
Did I already ask what your first work with Marvel was? No, I asked what your first pro work was.
Yeah.
What'd you do first for Marvel?
Marvel, I joined with 5 pages of Marvel Voices, the AAPI version. And then right after that, they gave me more covers. And then I think soon after that, they gave me Tiger Division, which is like Marvel's first Korean superhero team. And then I got to redesign Taeguki, who's the main character of that. So he didn't look like Pepsi Man anymore.
Yeah. That's exciting. As this is the Uncanny Sketch Duel, when does X-Men cross your path, Chris?
X-Men, like, oh, I worked on Marauders. Like 30 pages of the Marauders annual issue. I think that was right before Tiger Division. Okay. I think so. It's kind of all jumbled up in my mind. Yeah, I want to do like more X-Men stuff, but team books are really hard to do monthly. You just draw too many characters.
It's a lot of work. How about you, Marcus? Yeah. When does X-Men cross your path?
Yeah, my first ever X-Men stuff was X-Men Blue. A few issues before it...
Oh, that recently,
eh? Yeah, it... Okay. Yeah, it took a while before Marvel hired me. The funny thing about Marvel was that... and this is just kind of the career in comics sometimes where... You know, you come in and out of the industry of different companies here and there. Like, my actually first contract with anybody was with Marvel. And this was 2003 when C.B. Cebulski saw my work and really liked it. And this was, you know, pre him, basically, like, right before when he was a talent scout.
Wow.
And, but Marvel didn't give me work for years, and which is fine. That's just sometimes what happens. And then, long story short, kind of like when I was working on Red Robin, the last editor, and this is what usually happens in comics, when the book is close to being canceled, they kind of shift the book to more junior editors, right, to start working on and getting used to working on books with a little bit less urgency. And one of the junior editors on that book was Ricky Purdon.
Oh.
And he was moving on to work on the Multiversity project with Grant Morrison. So he ended up calling me one day in a panic, saying that he really, really needed 17 pages of the Multiversity guidebook to be done like January like 2nd or whatever, when everyone's back from holidays. And this was like December 22nd.
Oh my gosh.
17 pages?
Yeah, so he's, and everyone's going on vacation because it's like publishing generally stops for 2 weeks or something like that because all the printers close and everything else, so a lot of the publishers also close for those few weeks. So what ends up happening is that he you know, this was his first kind of like project that, or where he was the main editor on, and I felt that he was asking me for a favor, so I was like, you know what, I'll do it. I was in Vancouver visiting my parents. So I'm sitting on the kitchen table finishing like 17 pages the whole vacation.
Oh my gosh.
So I handed it in. It was like, it was fine, you know, but it, and they were really happy with it. And, you know, Ricky Purdon ended up moving to Marvel when DC moved to LA. And Ricky became the talent scout for Marvel. So ever since then, Ricky's been a big supporter of my work and been helping me get work at Marvel, so. Long story, but yeah, that's kind of how that led to more Marvel work.
Nice. Do we have any aspiring artists in the audience? Oh yeah, I see a couple. Nice. Does anybody have any questions?
I have a question.
Yes.
What are some of the other characters that people...
Some of the other characters? I don't know, shout them out. What did we have? Go ahead, shout out some favorite characters. Let's hear them.
Charizard.
Bear riding a unicycle.
Bear riding a unicycle.
A dinosaur.
Any
cowboy.
Say again?
Any cowboy.
Any cowboy.
Truman.
Truman. We got a Truman.
Ramona Flowers.
Say again?
Ramona Flowers.
Ramona Flowers. That's an excellent one. Scott Pilgrim?
Yeah.
Cigarette Man from X-Files.
Cigarette Man from X-Files.
It's just a black figure with smoke coming out.
I'll never forget that suggestion because I've never heard it before. Yeah. Say again?
Zenitsu.
Zenitsu?
Oh, Zenitsu.
Am I saying that right?
It's from, what's that one from? Demon Slayer.
Demon Slayer.
Right?
Eggman doing a headstand.
Who?
Eggman.
Eggman doing a headstand. Like, those are good times.
Like Eggman
I can't
from
keep up with
Batman's,
the anime. Are you guys into the manga and the anime?
A little bit of anime.
Yeah, yeah.
I try. It's hard to watch and read and eat at the same time. Because I usually just watch while I'm eating. Nice. So,
I used to be really big and, well, not really big, but like, I think I was like 19 when Naruto came out. And like, man, perfect timing for that to can be really pivotal. I know Naruto now is like super basic, but not like 20 years ago, right? That was like huge, and I remember that really started me on a path towards watching a lot of anime of that era. Not as much anymore, but like really like Haikyuu. I really like Eyeshield 21 and, you know, other mangas like
21st Century Boys is really great. Pluto's really great. There's so many good things out there. But yeah, it's really hard to really, especially the really long format ones where they go on for like the One Pieces. It's like, oh my God, I can't watch that much stuff.
1,000 episodes or something insane. Yeah. I tried to keep track when my kid was in it. He's 14 now. And when he was a couple years younger, he was so hardcore into manga. And then came Death Note.
Ooh.
And he just, like, everything Death Note. Just, like, Ryuk all over. In fact, he still has on his wall about 4 or 5 commissions that I've gotten him from this show, from, like, friends of Ryuk. I've got a Richard Pace Ryuk.
Yeah.
I've got a Jay Fosgate.
He looks like Richard Pace, hey? A little bit.
Oh, my gosh.
A little bit, right?
A little bit, yeah. Totally. So that's exciting. As far as aspiring artists and stuff, especially if you're local, there is a certain resource that Marcus is a part of. It's called the Raid Studio. Anybody familiar with Raid? Oh, not really many people. Very cool. Raid is the Royal Academy of Illustration and Design. But don't let that fool you, because it's more Raid than it is anything royal. They just kind of, when it was originally made, it was with Chip Zdarsky.
Yeah,
he was just kind of having a play on the fact that you know everything how Chip in Canada is the
royal something. Yeah, you know how Chip is. He likes to make
jokes. So Zdarsky did that. And it's a studio. And for many years, it was just in the one bit. Where was the original studio?
It was in Little Italy on College Street. It was basically just a few friends that grouped up together to rent a space to find work. Try to work not at home, basically. Because being a freelance artist, often it is tricky to, you know, work at home all the time. It might sound like a lot of fun, but when you're doing it for a few years and become all weird, you know, it doesn't work. So it's always good to be around other creatives and having them, you know, help critique your work. You could grow together. And that was kind of the basis of how Raid started. And it's grown from 4 people to now we're kind of a rotating cast, about 20 people.
Oh, nice.
And our new studio is at Roncesvalles in Queen. So you guys can come by and buy a coffee and check out the artwork that we have hanging up. And
it's grown a lot.
It has grown a lot.
Okay, well, what year did Ramon take over?
He basically took over when Chip left, I think.
And went right to Ramon after that?
Yeah,
Ramon
kind of.
Perez,
it's funny because all it really was that who was going to be paying the rent?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Who had to write the check?
Yeah, pretty much. And then so no one else wanted to do it, so Ramon had to be dad, and then he's never stopped since.
Yeah, that's when he kind of sparked a vision. And it is really cool, though, because the original studio, I got to go once. Mm-hmm. I podcasted there with Kyle Smith, and it was the one time I actually got to go into the Raid studio, the original, and it was like a movie. Like, you could feel the creative juices, like, oozing out of the white brick walls. And it, like, there's like each person has
that was
stage.
The asbestos, not the creativity.
Well, there was a certain. It was weird because no one was there. Like, the place was empty, like eerily empty. So we went to record the podcast there. So it gave it a certain air of, you know, mystique. I don't know, that it was just like, you know what, where all these artists are working. You know of them, but they're not there. But disheveled desks and just books and art books and figurines and statues just all over the place. It's what you would envision in your head if you thought of like a comic punk, kind of a punk rock comic book studio, you know? So Ramon took over. The studio has now moved to Roncesville. Mm-hmm. It's right on Queen Street, yeah?
Yeah, right on Queen Street.
And basically, as he got in a different spot, and it's bigger, it's brighter, as Marcus said, there's a lot more people involved. But they have a lot of events. They have life drawing, which is a key thing you want to do if you're an upcoming artist. You want to go to life drawing. There's so many people. It's crazy because there's like Marvel professionals like Marvel or Marcus just hanging out right down to the indie of India's people. And you can just hang out and have coffee and learn and talk and to peers who are professionals. And it's an absolutely crazy thing that we have here in Toronto. So if you ever want to take advantage of that, you can rent tables. You can rent tables like yep. hourly, can't you?
Well, not hourly, but like we do have like a weekly kind of thing.
Right.
And we do invite other professionals to come and just table for just try out and things right. like that.
But, so say you got like a project that you need some inspiration for, and you know, you rent the table for the week, chat up some guys, and you know, get your stuff done. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, we're pretty work focused in there, so it's you know, back in the day, you know, you hear a lot of stories about Image, those Image studios where they're all playing Xbox and like foosball and stuff like that. And but based on a lot of those, how little stuff was produced from those years, that you could tell that we kind of made a concerted effort to really focus on the work and, you know, during work hours and all that kind of stuff. So we're trying to make it more of a professional space, but with, you know, creative, I guess, fun, if you can call it that.
Yeah, no, it's great. Is there anything on display right now? Is the gallery active?
Yeah, there is. We just changed over. I can't remember the artist's name, but it's a little bit more dark, kind of gothy type of art right now. I can't remember the person's name, but anyway, check it out. We switch over every few months, depending on artists that we have, and if we don't, it's our stuff. It's the studio stuff. So
Do you do all your pro work there, like at the studio, or do
more
you...
or less? Yeah, I have a space at home because I gotta. You know, I gotta at some point see my wife, and so I have to have, just in case, you know, I have a home set up that that if, you know, if I need to be home, then I stay there. But you know, as Chris said, it's working in this industry. It is difficult. It's a lot of hours, and you kind of have to dedicate a lot of hours to doing comic book work to kind of make a go at it.
Practice makes perfect, right?
Yeah.
Chris, what's your drawing environment and your work environment like? Do you work from home?
I used to just go to like a cafe just for the busy environment. Sometimes when I'm home, I get distracted on like YouTube and trying to figure out like what music to play or like what to put on the background or whatever. So if I go out, it kind of limits that like access to my computer, and then I'm just able to kind of focus better. I also used to stream on Twitch, and so like having some viewers like watch me work kept me kind of accountable, like to keep me working, and so that helped a lot. But
Twitch has done a lot for a lot of artists. Like, you know, it kind of started as this gaming thing and watching live gaming, but you can watch so many incredible artists who are on Twitch all the time now, just live stream drawing. Sean Daly is on there like all the time. Like, Sean Daly loves that stuff. He's built like this little Twitch family.
Nice.
Do you ever do any online stuff? Are you into Twitch or anything, Marcus?
I tried to do it, and I was gonna ask Chris, like, how you felt about because I've always, my social media to me has always felt very high pressure.
Yeah,
I do struggle with having people watch me and do things. Like, I feel Well, I mean, at the studio it's a little different too, because we're all kind of working together, and it is fun, kind of, even if us at Stu, we don't talk, just having another artist kind of work
you
next
feed off
to you,
the energy
and you kind of get inspired by even small things, like, oh, I never thought of drawing a circle with going counterclockwise, or, you know, like different weird things. Like, I was just talking to Scott Hepburn today, who sits beside me at the show today, but also has been in the studio for years. And he does a lot of things with materials that I never thought to do it that like that, you know? And it's always inspiring to kind of see other people. But even like Chris said about going to a cafe, sometimes just looking out to and seeing other people gives you energy to kind of imagine your world kind of while you draw. So
yeah,
I really appreciate that.
It helps when I'm trying to draw like a crowd of people, and then seeing like random people, not just people that I can think of. So it's like a natural reference. Yeah.
Did you ever do much life drawing?
Yeah, in school I did a lot. We had like 1 6-hour life drawing class a week. And that definitely helped a lot, like learning anatomy and things like that.
Yeah, that's key.
That's been the kind of the theme of the weekend, it seems, here over the sketch tools, is to learn your anatomy. We've had some good tips over this weekend. That's always great for these sketch tools. Learn your anatomy, go to life drawing, and learn to ink yourself. That's been one that's come up. How do you guys each feel about learning, inking yourself is a good way to learn and get better? Do you guys agree?
It's a whole different skill, but it's important in the business. I think if you can ink yourself, you become more of a candidate for like the job, I guess. But I enjoy inking myself, and it's also because I'm like a perfectionist. So when I draw something, I have like the vision that I want it to look like. And so, inking is fun. It's a lot of pressure, though.
Yeah. It is an art form unto itself.
I've always believed in a few things, and one of them is that it is important to always study, and it's both studying your tools, but also studying kind of anatomy, structure, perspective, all that stuff. No matter how far you in your career, I think it's always good to sharpen those tools and always study and try to do more. But one of the ways to study is try different tools. I think a good way to get through artist either burnout or block is to change up your tools. Sometimes when you have artist block, it's not just being tired, it's like your mind is almost trapped in not knowing exactly kind of what you're looking to do. So your mind is always searching for like kind of more. So a way that I found to trick my brain into thinking that way, thinking outside of what I normally think, is to use a tool that I struggle with and try to learn it, because you gotta, each tool requires a slightly different kind of process to use. So if you like draw with a pencil all the time and you switch over to a brush, you can't use a brush like you use a pencil. Mm-hmm. Or you can't use a quill like you use a brush. You have to have a different approach to it, and then you have to be almost okay to allow whatever is produced to be what it is, as opposed to like, I'm forcing a look with a tool that is not used for that, or something. So
I feel like I can't do that.
Yeah. It takes time and it takes training of just accepting what is there. And it is weird. That's why I switched. That's why I have like a sack of tools that I often at times I never use. But I also have, digital's fun that way. Like digital is another tool where if you know how to use, say like a quill, Clip Studio, I really love working on with a G-Pen pen, which is the standard one that they have in Clip Studio. But I also use G-Pens like in real life. It's very difficult, like trying to figure out the proper viscosity of the ink so that it pulls the right line that I like, or, making sure that I don't, have my hand brush against the wet ink. Like I don't need to do that on digital, but I know how to do that, or I try to practice doing that by hand. And if you utilize that same kind of technique to pull the G-Pen like you would traditionally, you get actually a really close approximation of exactly what it's supposed to do. So having both and jumping back and forth has helped me kind of really see and change my work in different ways that I never thought possible. So I'm really a fan of trying different materials. Sorry for the long story, but I was just thinking, like in Vancouver, Fan Expo, there was this art explosion event, and it was an hour live painting with like Michael's brand acrylic and canvas, so it's not great material.
Basically,
also it's in a bar, and you have an hour, and that's stressful, right? I gotta paint this whole thing now. It doesn't even have time.
It's very loud.
It doesn't even have time for the ink to dry enough that you can layer things. So I had to like sit there and try to make up a plan based on the speed I need to go with, the fact that it's not gonna dry properly. And that I only have like 45 minutes to an hour, and everyone's just waiting. And then so I would have to, I decided to use Venom because I'm like, okay, I have to find a character that's more organic so I don't have to be really precious with stuff. I picked a character where it's a mostly one color, but you can layer in kind of like blues and greens and reds in with the black to make it not just black. And then something that I can just mash in together really quickly. So like you're thinking, you're breaking it all down based on all these things in your head and then trying to do something that you kind of already had to let go that it's gonna be any good. Right, because you really just have an hour. You're like, okay, well, I don't know what this is going to look like.
You have to be happy with doing the best you can.
Yeah, right? And it's, I hate it because it's like, you know, we, like Chris said, like I think a lot of us like that control. We like having the ability to control everything that we produce. And it is fun that way, but sometimes you don't learn as much without putting some pressure on you, so...
Right, so for you it works to shake things up a bit and try different things, and that's cool. Do you ever feel the need to shake it up, Kreese, or are you just kind of on your path and straightforward?
I have, like, the desire to, like, change up a couple things, but it's been tough just because of, like, deadlines. I can't really be as experimental on certain things.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. There's an artist upstairs named Mike Ruth. Is anybody familiar with Mike Ruth? The way Mike likes to shake it up and do something different is he'll just walk outside and pick something up off the ground. And then he'll ink a picture with it, whether it's Swamp Thing or whatever, but I've seen him draw with sticks, nails, acorns.
Yeah.
I think a broken toy airplane. He found a little broken toy airplane. And he'll just pick something up off the ground and he'll make like this beautiful like inked Swamp Thing art out of it.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, Mike's really inspiring when it comes to like just this pure creativity that kind of comes from. And Chris is right, though. When you're working on deadlines all the time, it's very difficult to be creative. Like, when your deadlines are really tight, you just got to go with what you know.
Right.
You just kind of have to go with, like, instinct and, like, I've done this before, and this is professional enough. And sometimes that is work, you know? And unfortunately, you don't always have the chance to experiment and try different things.
There's, like, moments of happy accidents where like you find like a shortcut for something, but it's usually not on purpose or with the intention to find out a new technique or anything. So
awesome.
But that's like the pressure of the deadline. Yeah.
Okay, the deadline at the moment is about 3 minutes.
That's
gentlemen.
It?
Yeah, oh. We're almost there, and then we gotta raffle off some tickets. But I just wanted to give those last few minutes to you, Kreese. To talk about your creator-owned project you're working on. You seem pretty excited about it. You said earlier,
I'm
working on
something. Sorry, I've been working so hard on these sketches.
Without
so.
Giving anything away that you don't want to spoil, is there something you're excited you're working on?
Oh, no. We actually just got our project fully funded on Kickstarter. Thanks. It ended like 2 days ago. It's called Bladesmith. And if you guys know like Food Wars or like MasterChef, it's... assassin or chefs that are also assassins at night.
Awesome.
And it's kind of like a John Wick meets Food Wars, so I get to eat a lot for reference and then draw that into the comic, and then there's a lot of cooking and killing, and so it's pretty fun. Excited because it's like not like the typical superhero story, but I think the writers and like everybody on the team, we all like enjoy food, and I'm sure you guys do too, so we try to make all the food look really good. And then also have like good action in there as well. And
that's
so,
awesome. When do you hope to get this out to the people?
That's a tough question.
A lot of work.
The first three issues are done. I just don't know when they're going into print and then all that stuff. But the company is called 24/7 Comics, and the first issue is free to view online. And then, if you guys want to come by my table, I have like little cards with the Bladesmith links and stuff. So, yeah.
Super fun. All right, we'll let you guys wrap up this last one here, and then we will show off the art, and then we will raffle some tickets. Does that sound fun?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Food Wars.
No, there's no clothes exploding off unless it was through the action. Sorry.
I loved Food Wars. Like, it's so fun.
Yeah, it was hard to watch, like, with my mom in the house.
Well,
like,
yeah.
I had to, like, turn down the volume just certain points. But.
Rave, do you have to, is there, like, an online website or something that you can do there?
Is there a rave.com? I've actually never known. I know there's a
I think rave.com that you can still take you there. There's a few links like we bought, like rave.world, rave.ca, rave.com. I think we all just it all will just go in there. But if you want more information, we have like at the rave booth at P61-ish. We have a bunch of stickers and stuff like that with QR codes that will take you there as well. And you can check out some of our books we have at our tables, just to give you an example of what we're doing. Because we are looking into moving into kind of like independent publishing, but very kind of boutique stuff. So we have a bunch of...
Raid Press,
yeah. And a bunch of the books that we're planning to launch next year, which are being worked on right now, aren't even like Raid members, so we started opening up to submissions for our anthologies and other things. But it's slow going, you know. We're a lot of us, especially Ramon, this is our side project from our regular job, because we really do believe in independent voices and projects, and we want to have that ability to do that. But it is our second job from this. It is a lot.
It is a lot. Yeah. Your kids and your
so
wives.
It does take us a little so longer long. To get things done, but we've got a bunch of examples and we have a bunch of things. Hopefully we can get some for Fan Expo in the summer, but this coming year we have a lot of projects that should be coming out soon.